Hey everyone, it's Russ, and welcome to another episode of the Wealthcare Advisor Spotlight. Today, I'm excited to be joined by Iyad Amari. Iyad has joined Wealthcare pretty recently, and just really looking forward to having this conversation and letting him share a little bit about himself, his background, and you know, what attracted him to Wealthcare. So, Iyad, welcome.
Thank you, Russ. It's great to be here. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, likewise. I'm glad we're going to be able to share this conversation with our listeners. Why don't you start by just introducing yourself, telling folks a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah. Sure. Thanks. I've probably been I think about 20 years in the business, and I live up in the Lehigh Valley area in Pennsylvania, primarily Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, known as the Lehigh Valley. And I've been here my whole life. It's a good place, and really roots here, and looking to build my practice in this area as well. And my background is varied in terms of my industry experience. You know, I've been probably over the course of 20 years with several different firms, and then also different capacities that I've worked in. So I think it's lended to a pretty well-rounded, you know, financial background. I think that's helped me a lot in building, you know, a good financial planning practice. So I'm married, you know, three kids. I'm in the throes of it right now. They're in school age, and you know, it's the challenge of always being focused on your career and then also being focused on being a good parent and good husband and all the rest that goes along with it. So, you know, I think I pull a little bit from my business into my family life, and then and vice versa too. And I think you have to be flexible enough to do it well. So that's just a little bit about me. And, you know, family is probably the driving force behind my life, not just my immediate family, but my extended family is rather large. So in my culture, family is just pretty much everything. And so growing up that way, I didn't, you know, really stray too far from where my parents live because they didn't want me to. They put a little pressure on you, you know? And so I think growing up that way, one of five, and my wife kind of grew up the same way, and she's one of five, and our extended families, it's just nonstop, you know? So I incorporate a lot of that into my practice, actually. And I think that's why I'm not afraid to say I'm good at what I do in connecting with people because of that reason. And when I find other people that feel the same way, it's a pretty good fit.
Yeah, I as I recall in a prior conversation, I think you've told me you've got a lot of, since you kind of grew up in that area, a lot of family is still close by. So I know outside of your immediate family, your wife and your kids, I know you've told me before that you see your extended family on a pretty regular basis, which I forget some of the numbers you threw out, but it sounds like you guys get a pretty big crowd together on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah, I think we spoke before Thanksgiving and we were having Thanksgiving. I think that's what you're probably referring to. Yeah, you know, about 40, 50 people at my house that day. Wow. And I wouldn't say it's a regular thing, but it's pretty routine, you know, both sides get together. So,
yeah.
But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. So mentioning that you've been in the industry for about 20 years, have served in different capacities in different firms. How long have you actually been a practicing advisor?
Client facing most of that time, but probably about 16, 17 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Since 1997.
Okay. Yeah.
Take 4 years, a 4 year hiatus. I think it was 2005 through 2008, 2009. I was out of the business for a little while. And then I got back in.
Yeah.
Got relicensed and had to go through all that again.
Yeah.
You know, so from 97 till now, save those 4 years. Almost all were in client facing with the exception of a few. You know, I got into trading. I was doing some trading for a firm. And I did some small business plan type of work where it wasn't directly client facing at that point. But most of it was, you know, giving advice in some capacity.
Yeah. And
but it wasn't until probably the last 7 years that I really began focusing on understanding what planning was, right? And that's when I got my credentials, my CFP credentials, and learning more about planning and evolving my practice into truly, you know, a planning practice.
Yeah. Well, since these advisor spotlight conversations are all about, you know, kind of showcasing you and the work that you do, could you share from your perspective, Iyad, is there anything unique about kind of who you are or the people, your clients that you serve or have served in the past or how you serve them? I mean, is there any, do you think of your clientele as like being like a niche or a target market, or do you have a pretty broad representation across different types of clients? Maybe just tell us a little bit more about the maybe the context of the types of clients that you've found yourself working with over the years.
I don't have necessarily a niche per se in terms of the, you know, some people like to work with, you know, only a certain profession or a certain age group. I find for me that my niche is more or less people that I think I align with from a personal connection standpoint. You know, now they meet certain classification in terms of net worth. Yes, you know, higher net worth individuals typically. But I wouldn't exclude somebody only because of that if I could offer the right help to them, you know, and I had the capacity to work with them in terms of time. But I think the primary thing they have all in common is that I get along with them. I know it sounds simple, but I like them and they like me, you know. So you try to find people that will gravitate towards people they like. And, you know, think about the people that you hang out with, your friends. Yeah. I mean, why do you hang out with them? Why do you want to spend time with them? Because you enjoy being around them, I think. And so I've had people that I've engaged with that for whatever reason, there's not a connection there. And it ends up not being a great relationship. And then the advice isn't as impactful, I think. Right. So if it's one thing they have in common, we just have a personal connection. And I spend time developing that intentionally because I think it's paramount to a good relationship.
I'm glad you mentioned that. And I think it's important to highlight the fact that I think you said something important, that the having a personal connection, I think really does a lot to underscore the advice that you deliver. And more importantly, probably increases the likelihood that they follow through on your advice, that they implement what you're recommending and suggesting because of the personal connection. I would suspect, you tell me, I would suspect that they know that it's coming from a genuine place because you care about them. You built this relationship. It's not like, it's not transactional. It's not like you're just trying to sell them something and move on. Would you say that's fair?
You hit the nail on the head, and the word is genuine, right? So I think when you can be yourself and truly who you are, the other person on the side of the desk is going to evaluate that, and it's going to hit a chord with them or not, right? It is, I want to work with this person because I like him, I trust them, and he or she knows what he's talking about, and et cetera. There's people have their buying reasons. Now, I have had interactions and it's been transactional, and sometimes that's all people want. But what I find for me, it's not fulfilling, and it's just not the type of business that I want to do necessarily, because I just think in the end, you know, you can get transactions done almost anywhere. This is a people business, right? And if you're not going to, if the client doesn't want to spend that kind of time with you, that's okay. It's their right. It's just, I'm not the right person for that. It's just not a good fit.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the fact that you're being very thoughtful and deliberate about the people you're working with and that kind of business you're building. I think as advisors, we all have an opportunity to be very purposeful and build something that we want, as opposed to just kind of working with anyone or kind of falling into this, you know, practice that we kind of wind up with. So I think that's important, and I'm glad you shared that with us. Thinking back over your years as an advisor, Iyad, is there maybe like a favorite client success story that comes to mind for you?
I don't know of a specific, I mean, I could probably pull a specific story, but there's several of them and they all have one thing in common. And it is helping someone through a transition phase, right? I think where I've been most successful and it's meeting with clients and helping them when they're at a period of transition. So you think of the periods of transitions people go through in their lives that are really important. Could be a job change, could be approaching retirement, or that time where they actually retire and their money has to do certain things for them, whether it's generating an income or passing down to the next generation, whatever those transitions are, somebody dying, right, is a big one that happens. Obviously, a spouse dying, a parent dying. And I see like the level of anxiety that people have around those, right? And so for me, when I have a client that says, hey, we bought, and this one particular one does stand out to me, and I think about it, where they got to the point where they've gone through all those multiple hoops of planning to retirement, approaching it, going on the back end of it after they're actually, you know, resigned or retired. And then they got their like dream second home in Vermont, this particular client. And, you know, they tell you about this stuff. I'm like, wow, we couldn't have done this. Without. They'll say things like, could have done it without you. They could have probably done it without me. But they value the assistance that you help every step of the way. And what I always say is, I just think about my parents. I think if my parents had to go through this on their own, and whatever transition is, it's scary. I mean, for us, it's routine. So I think we take it for granted. Oh, this is easy. I use this, and you're done. But for them, man, everything is like moving mountains. And I think just being able to walk somebody through that transition is really, it's a good feeling, because you know how much help you're providing, even as inconsequential may seem for us. It's a big deal for like that extra phone call that, hey, I just wanted to make sure, because this is a big day for you. How did the settlement go? Did everything go okay with the bank? Did you get the utilities all, like little things like that. And when you ask and you reaffirm, or you know, those kind of things go a long way in cementing, you know, an already established relationship, or even, you know, just further build your credibility, because, you know, you care, because you're taking the extra time, where there's no real value in that for me from a dollar standpoint, other than, of course, the retention that the credibility continues to build, right, through the relationship.
Yeah, I'm glad you highlighted that specific example, because I think what I heard you kind of indirectly saying is that money is emotional. And when we're working with the client, we can obviously bring some objectivity to the table and, you know, helping them through some of these transitions. We've probably done it dozens, if not hundreds of times. Whereas for them, it's not just the transition, but it's all the emotions that go hand in hand with that. Like maybe they have a lot of identity tied up in their career, so they're leaving that behind. Yeah. So there's a lot of emotions, things like grief. I mean, I've actually read that people suffer grief when they retire after a 30, 40 year career. And so I think being that trusted advisor, having the personal connection, building that relationship with them. So again, as you mentioned earlier, your advice comes from a genuine place, and you're really wanting to guide them, not just give advice, but actually guide them through these transitions, I think.
Yeah, that's so important. And I think back to that, and I think back to examples of what I do to help people along, right? So specifically, about, we've been through it so many times. We've been through those transitions dozens and dozens, or hundreds of times, even, I would say. Letting them know what's going to happen. So here's what's going to happen, Russ. You're going to send in your resignation or your retire, and you're going to have all kinds of emotions. You're going to be either really excited or really anxious or really nervous. Or probably all. So you tell them that they're going to feel these things. And you tell them that when they make a decision to buy that second home or to do whatever it is, or gift that money, that they're going to go through certain things are going to happen. And then when it does, they're not really that, oh, yeah, I said this is going to happen. He said this is, like, do you know what I mean? And that just gives them a sense of, all right, yeah, you see. So how'd it go? Well, it was exactly like you said it was going to be. It was this and that. Like, is that how you feel, you know? So I think going through that yourself and having those experiences and sharing that with them lets them know that, all right, one, you've been there before, right? He's been there before. So he gets it. He understands what I'm going through. But two, it's like, all right, I also told them, hey, you're going to be fine, right? I always tell everything's going to work out. And so when they know that one and two, three steps happen, then the fourth and fifth is going to happen too, which always results in the end of them being okay. You know,
yeah.
So I think if you let them know that it's coming, and usually it follows a certain path and everything works out for them.
Well, I think helping set expectations and helping prevent surprises goes a long way to help combat some of the emotional stress and anxiety that goes with some of these transitions. So I think that's hugely, hugely important. So, thanks for sharing that.
And I just add one thing about that. It's important with anything is when you think somebody is feeling those stresses or if it's overexcitement, what is the root cause of it? It's just like anything else that you have to flesh out. Like, I might think it's because they're They're worried about money. They're worried about, and it might not be that at all. It might be a completely different source of anxiety that you want, you need to find out what it is so that, you know, you can address it. Right. Because if I think it's a money thing and I just keep talking about the money, that I could be way off base. Right. It could be just, you know, things are changing in general, and whatever it might be that might be causing it. I think that's important too. When people are going through those transitions, what's causing, you know, what are the causes, the underlying causes of their identity or emotions or whatever it is.
Yeah. Hugely important. So Iyad, you joined WealthCare pretty recently. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, given the breadth of choices, the different firms and ways to affiliate with firms and continue to practice as a financial advisor, what attracted you to WealthCare?
When I started doing my research on this and making this decision, the things I were looking for were, to me, I you know, write things out. What are you really looking for? The number one thing that I was looking for was people, right? The people that are making the decisions of the things that are out of my control, meaning, you know, how the firm operates, what software they're using and all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, you know. I want to make sure I'm working with people that I have a good sense about, that give off a good energy, that I have an alignment with in terms of the philosophy. So that's the first thing that I was looking for is the firm run by what I think are good people, just general, right? Are they good people? Do I have a good sense of trust in them? Do they have a good reputation and so forth? Do they have a good aptitude for the business and so forth? And so that was probably the first thing, because when you first meet with somebody that's running a firm or that's in charge of the advisor recruitment or whatever, they're the face of the company, right? And they're going to give you either a good or bad vibe. Hey, I really like this guy. I can continue to talk to him, or didn't get such a good feeling for whatever reason. It's just not a good fit. Not that they're a bad person. I just, you know, so I think that's the number one thing I was looking for is the people that are running the firm. And then beyond that, it was, you know, the philosophy. What's the philosophy? What do they stand for? Right. So for me, with WealthCare, what appealed to me was it's a planning based firm, right? From the beginning with the software innovations. And it's all over the website, right? It's about planning and integrating the life planning with the financial planning. I never really realized I was doing that because I never really put a name to it. But all the stuff we just talked about earlier about people's transitions and their life, and that is life planning, right? I tell people I'm not as much of a financial planner as I am a life planner. And it's connecting the two. So when I found WealthCare, it was like, wow, I actually do this. This is what I do. It was kind of weird. It was all mapped out. I was like, wow, this is great, you know? And so then obviously there's something to back it up with the portfolio management and the software. So that was another thing I was looking for, is the philosophy. Does it align with how I envision me continuing to practice and building my practice? And I would say lastly was it's the you know, you hear that term supported independence. I think there's that really good structure here, but I have a lot of flexibility. There's nothing I have to do in terms of, other than the compliance stuff, there's nothing I have to do in terms of a requirement to do X amount of business with the, you know, in-house portfolio management versus outsourcing it. And so I have some independence, or a lot of independence actually there. I could do flat fee planning if I want. I can do just the traditional, you know, fee-based approach that a lot of fee-only planners do. So I like the idea of having that autonomy to do things the way I want to, frankly, you know, and that makes sense for my clients and myself and the way I want to build my business.
Yeah. We always like to ask that question. We have such an interesting mix of advisors that have come from all walks of life and all backgrounds, you know, different other types of firms, things like that. So it's always interesting just to kind of see what those, you know, what those common threads are that appeal to different advisors about WealthCare, about the process, about the people, all the things you mentioned. So appreciate you sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Given your 20 or so years in the industry, I'm curious, What surprised you most about your work as an advisor over the years?
I would say how much I continuously learn. It's amazing to me. You would think in 20 years in a business, you think, you got to figure it all out. This guy knows everything. It's just astounding to me the amount of information that's available still, just nonstop learning. I mean, I never thought that I would get to the point where I'm learning more now than I did in the beginning. And maybe because I have a greater appreciation for it now, that I just want to just kind of soak everything up. But there is not a day that goes by that I don't read an article and I pick up something. I'm like, wow, I never thought about that. You know, or talking to somebody, one of my colleagues, I'm like, wow, that's really neat. Of course, because the business is evolving too. And so you got to stay on top of it. But I'd have to say that to me is probably the most surprising thing is, you know, I never thought that I would just have so much available in terms of resources. It's just never ending. I mean, the amount you can learn in this business never stops.
Yeah. Well, and I'm curious, like, so when you talk about learning, are you talking about learning like more technical skills, like how to be a better advisor, or more like relational skills, like how to better communicate and build relationships with clients? Or is it kind of all the above?
You name it, all of it. Yeah. Because it all goes to being a better advisor, right? If it's technical, absolutely. I think, you know, shame on you if you don't know something about the technical side of the business, which to me, I don't say it's easy, but you have to know that stuff, right? You have to stay on top of it. So I, you know, as you, a lot of us in this business are kind of nerdy when it comes to the numbers and the finance and the hardcore stuff. I love to learn about that. And I think it's important because that's what, in the end, you do have to bring the goods. Like the warm and fuzzies are great. You know, oh, this client loves me, high fives all around. But if you're not bringing the goods to the table in terms of advice and reasoning for the advice, yeah, that's only going to carry you so far, right? So yeah, that kind of learning. But I love the psychology part of it, you know, and the relationship building. And then the other part that, you know, learning that I did many years ago and now back is kind of learning how to be a business owner, right? Running a business is different than actually practicing financial advice. And so there's that component to it now that I'm just getting to the tip of the iceberg in terms of how to run a real practice, a business, and so forth. So to me, it's just, and that's why maybe why I feel like there's so much out there. It's like you are that proverbial fire hose that you're drinking out of, you know. Yeah. Just keeps coming. And the more publications you read, the more you get signed on to some other service or newsletter, and it just keeps coming. And I get lost in it sometimes too much almost. You got to take a break, you know, once in a while too.
Yeah, the rabbit hole is deep. It's easy to fall down.
There you go. It? Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Deep and wide.
Yeah. So under the theme of learning, I think this is maybe a good segue to this question. So let's say a college student approached you and said, hey, Iyad, I'm interested in maybe becoming a financial advisor or getting into the financial advice industry. What advice or guidance would you give to someone like that? That maybe is hasn't you know kind of started a career yet, is interested, you know, if they could learn from your experience, maybe avoid some lessons that you learned the hard way. Any advice or guidance you might give to like a college student that might be interested in pursuing a career in financial advice?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question because I think back, like what would I have done over? And then you like think, well, I don't regret anything because it shapes who you are. So I don't like to think of it that way. But I think keeping an open mind towards different approaches, you know, like a certain person's way of doing business may be best for that person, but it might not be right for you. It could be. But if you're just starting out, I think, you know, I don't know if they do still like internships and stuff like that, or you know, getting a flavor for the different approaches that one can take in this business. Because, you know, look, think about all the titles that are out there, right? For people in our seat, financial advisor, financial planner, financial consultant, investment consultant. I mean, there's probably half a dozen more. They're kind of the same, but they're not. And if you put half of us in a room, right? Half of the advisor at Wealthcare in a room, they're probably all going to give a different definition of what they do or what their title is. And I just think that there's so many different ways you can go for someone just starting out. You got to get a flavor of them, you know, jump in the fire, spend some time with people, really understand at the core of what they do. And is that something that fits with where you see yourself heading? And where you're heading might change also, because I never saw myself, I won't say I never saw myself in this seat, but I always thought of myself as doing this, but where I started to where I'm at now is night and day. So I think for somebody just starting out, it would be important, get exposure to different people that do the business differently, and then maybe see one that resonates you and approach that might resonate. Because, you know, there's some really good insurance-based planners out there, do really good work. There's people that do fee-only money management, and that's the focus. There's the kind of guys like myself that are more really into the relationship part of it. I mean, and there's dozens of ways, right, to skin a cat, like they say, and none of them are right or wrong. It's just, is it right for you? Yeah. You have to find what you think is right for you and is a good fit that goes along with your personality, what your business endeavors are, et cetera, et cetera.
I think that's a great perspective because, it's almost overwhelming, the different titles and credentials and ways to deliver advice and different models out there. So I think maybe for someone that's considering a career in financial advice, you know, maybe first taking a step back, getting a better understanding of the landscape, the different ways to enter the industry. And as you said, like talking about your own background, I mean, I think you said kind of night and day from where you started to where you are now, but you also mentioned that, you said that you don't know that you changed anything because that all kind of contributed to your experience and, you know, what you've learned over that period of time. So I think that's a great perspective. So thanks for that. As we start to wrap up the conversation today, Iyad, is there anything that I've got a couple more things I want to ask you, but is there anything that you wanted to highlight or anything I didn't ask you that maybe you wish I had? Or just anything else you'd like to highlight or kind of just share about yourself, your practice, your background, the type of work you do?
I think we covered all, you know, it's just kind of funny you're being asked this question, so you feel like you're just doing all the talking and feel like I'm talking about myself for half an hour.
Well, that's why it's called the spotlight. The spotlight is on you, my friend.
I know. Usually I'm doing the asking and not so much of the talking. I think it's weird the other way around. I just look for anybody who I think gets some time with me. I think will understand one thing I just try to make sure of is that I like to just be myself. And I think the word genuine, you used it earlier, is that's at the core of everything I do with my family, with my friends, with my clients. You can't go wrong. Right. Because there's nothing, it's not work when you're not pretending to be anybody else. And if that comes across in this conversation, then I think, you know, the rest can be, you know, figured out by just Q&A.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that. As we start to wrap up, if there's other advisors that listen to this conversation, if there were one thing that they could take away from the things we've discussed today, what would you want that one thing to be?
Well, I would say that never forget that this is a people business, right? You take out all the numbers and the money and everything else in between. In the end, it's you and your people, your clients. I would also say your service people, the people that you either employ or that you work with or for. And to me, the most valuable thing that I have, when I people say, what's the one thing that you would never want to lose, is my the relationships that I built with people, right? Number one, I would say you always think about your clients, your client relationships, but the relationships in general, your professional relationships, your friend relationships and all that stuff. So it's a people business. There's that saying of, you know, people don't know or people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If you've ever heard that saying.
Yeah.
I think in this business that comes through, because I can tell you countless, there's numbers of times where I was either a little overzealous or got ahead of myself about winning business and skipped some very fundamental relationship building, rapport building, whatever you want to call it. And it usually doesn't end well. So I think doesn't matter your certifications, your credentials, your experience, and all that stuff is great and helps. But in the end, it's a people business, and you got to show people that, you know, you are there for them. You know, you care, you're genuine, et cetera. If that's who you are, and if it's not who you are, I think it comes out in the wash eventually. So, you know, most people in this business, I think that I've come across, are good people, right? I mean, you have a lot of not so good people in every business, but in this business, for the most part, the people that are not so good, they usually don't stick around that long. I don't know how. I mean, it surprises me. Sometimes I come across cases where there may be some that aren't doing a great job, and you wonder, how do they make it so far? Like, how do they make it? I don't know. Because to me, you got to be a good person. You know, I mean, it's just, it's simple, but I think in the end, that's what really comes across.
Yeah. We've spent a lot of time in our conversation today talking about your background, your experience, your history in the industry, your family, things like that. Looking forward, let's say 5 years from now, where would you like to see yourself as an advisor in 5 years?
If I could draw it out picture perfect, the idea of, you know, that term that's used in this business, like a lifestyle practice, you know, meaning you have a certain number of people that you want to work with, and they're really good families that you're doing good work for. And the way I design my relationships, and I design them, the way I like to build them, is that I'm not just the advisor to the parents of the family. Like, I'm now getting into their next generation and really, right? So, you know, you have 50 plus, maybe 75, if you have the capacity, really good family relationships. And, you know, you have an efficient machine running where the technology that's available to us today, you're using it wisely. You're running an efficient operation. I have 3 kids and they're in elementary school right now. So you fast forward 5 years, you can do the math. They're in their teenage years. I got 3 daughters and I got to be around. So as much as I want to be there for my clients, I will be. I don't see myself growing like a massive business. I really don't need that, nor do I want that. I want to have enough, right, to be able to make a comfortable living, but be able to serve the people I committed to, and then be around for my kids, my family, and then enjoy my life. You know, I mean, it's, in the end of the day, what's the money for? It's kind of like, goes back to the planning. And what I always ask people is, what's the purpose of this money? What do you intend to do with it? And it doesn't have to have all one purpose. Of course, your money should have different, you know, purposes, multiple purpose for your money. But for me, what's the point of making all this, making money or earning a good living if you're not going to enjoy it? So I want some time to do that too. And I think a lifestyle practice is the way, as we term it, you know, kind of fits, at least now. I mean, we'll see. Yeah. Kids get, they don't want me around as much. I might find myself working a little more than I want to. I don't know. But
yeah,
that's how I see it growing over time.
And I know you touched on this a little earlier in the conversation, but how do you see wealth care playing a role in helping you build that lifestyle practice that you envision?
Well, I got to say, I mean, so far, I know it's honeymoon period, right? It's just kind of getting this thing off the ground, and the support's been great. But I love the idea of being able to outsource, like what I kind of call it, controlled outsourcing. You know, you think about outsourcing is a bad word. It's like, oh, things are going overseas and, you know, you get bad service because it's outsourced. Not necessarily, right? And here, I love the fact that I can control what I want to outsource, right? The portfolio management, some of the back office stuff, the compliance stuff, right? Versus what I want to do myself. And I just find that for me, the vision that I have of running a more efficient operation where I'm spending most of my time in front of a client, talking to a client, helping them solve their problems, deepening those relationships, I love the fact that it's part of that process of when I was doing my research, one of the things that I was looking for was, what's their philosophy? What's their process? Yeah. You know, outsourcing some of that me to them is part of that process. And it fits perfectly with how I see this, you know, building out. So that's where, you know, wealth care certainly comes in, and they obviously, they encourage that. The business model lends to that. And I think that's important to fit within my own philosophy.
Yeah. Well, speaking informally on behalf of the firm, we're happy to have you aboard and part of the WealthCare family, and look forward to seeing you build out your, you know, the vision of your practice for yourself and your family over the next 5 years and many more years beyond that. So, and thank you again. I've enjoyed this conversation. I've enjoyed our conversations prior to today as well. And we're just, you know, so happy to share these conversations and be able to, you know, share a little bit more about some of our advisors, that, you know, play an important role in building this, this great firm. So thank you. If someone's listening and they want to reach out or learn more, or maybe get in touch with you, what's the best way for people to track you down?
So, you know, the nice thing about WealthCare, I use the brand name, but I dubbed it WealthCare of the Lehigh Valley. That's how I branded my practice. So a quick, obviously the Google-inator, you know, approach, WealthCare of the Lehigh Valley, or email, you know, my first name, first initial, last name, Amari at WealthCareLV.com, WealthCareLV, obviously for Lehigh Valley, or just the website, you know, WealthCareLV.com. We'll redirect to my webpage as well. So in those ways, yeah, give a shout out. I mean, if there's any other advisors that I'd love to trade, you know, best practices. I mean, we talked the other day, a half hour goes by like in the blink of an eye when we're talking business, you know. Some of the other advisors reached out to me. I'm always up for a conversation, you know.
Yeah, well, thanks for making that offer and sharing your contact information. We'll be sure to share that in the show notes for this episode as well. I think we'll wrap it up there. So, yeah, thanks again. This has been fun. I always enjoy talking to you, and today was no exception.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, Russ. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and for everyone out there listening, thanks for joining us. This has been another episode of the WealthCare Advisor Spotlight, and we look forward to catching up with you again on our next episode.